From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's USDA Report Day. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up this afternoon, we'll talk about this morning's USDA crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimates reports with Jackie Vick. She's at Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. We'll discuss what farmers should do now as we head towards the harvest season and the fall. And we'll also take a look at the weather forecast today. That with Drew Lerner. He's from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. We'll discuss the big winds that came through Indiana and Illinois, along with Iowa and Nebraska on Monday, the impact it may or may not have had on the crop, and then, of course, what's happening in Canada, and we'll check the corn crop in Ukraine as well. That nation cut both the exports and production for their crop earlier this week. We'll see if that jives with what Drew Lerner has been thinking about the conditions on the ground there. And it all happened on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Well, this morning's USDA report showed that the carry out for this marketing year, or the crop that was harvested last fall for corn, is now 2.228 billion bushels. The expectation is that producers around the nation will harvest a record-sized corn crop this fall of 181.8 bushels to the acre for total production of 15.278 billion bushels. That'll give us a carryout next year in the fall of 2021 of 2.756 billion bushels with an average cash price all season long of $3.10 a bushel. For soybeans, the carry-in at 615 million bushels. That's what'll be left over from last year's crop by the time we get to the new marketing year. We'll harvest about 83 million acres of soybeans this year with a yield of 53.3 bushels to the acre. That's a record breaker as well. Total crop production at 4.425 billion bushels and a carryout next year of 610 million with an M bushels. And a cash price for the season average at $8.35 a bushel.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn today finished 3 cents higher at 314.5. December at 327 at a quarter up 3.75 cents. That's despite the USDA's record corn yield number for the day. The March contract there at 338.75 up 3.5. And July futures of next year at 352.75 up 3.25. The soybeans a much bigger record number. And they finished higher as well. August contract up 12.5 cents at $8.90.5. November at 883 up 9.5 cents. And January 8.75 higher at $8.87.75. The March 8.89.25, 7.5 higher. And July of next year up 7 cents at $8.99.25. Bean oil futures 94 cents higher at $32 even. And the bean meal at $2.82.20 up 20 cents for the afternoon. Wheat futures July soft red at $5.17 a bushel, down 3. And the hard red July finished 0.75 cents lower at $4.54. Live cattle futures in Chicago. October contract up $1.27.5 at $109.57.5. August feeders 75 cents higher at 145.25, and lean hogs for the day, uni October at $51.60, down 22.5 cents. Crude oil for the day up $1.02 a barrel. The ethanol futures around 0.3 cents higher. It's trading at $1.23 a gallon. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.25.9 per gallon, up 2.1 cents. And the wholesale price of gasoline at $1.24.4 up 3.9 cents. Natural gas, 0.2 cents lower at $2.15.9. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, about 250 points higher for the afternoon. Jackie Vakes now joins us from Total Farm Marketing. She's in Hollister, Missouri. Hey, thanks for being with us, Jackie. What a set of USDA reports this morning. We've gone through some of the numbers. We'll get to a few more of them in just a bit, but I do want to start out with kind of the traditional things that we run through. So support and resistance levels at this point look like what?
Well, September corn 307 with resistance at 318. December corn 313, resistance at 355. Beans, September 854, 904 for resistance, and November 849 support, 909 resistance. When we look at the Dow Jones, it's got 25,230 is the support level. 29,568 is now again the resistance level. U.S. dollar, fifth month in a row that we're lower. Support now is at 89.12, resistance at 95.31. And I'll just follow up, Todd, with the managed money and the export inspections right away, too. When you look at the soft red wheat, managed money is 9,000 short compared to 10,000 last week. Corn, 167 compared to 183. Beans long, 40 compared to 58. Soy meal short, 23 versus 23 last week. And soy oil is long, 44 compared to 53 last week. So you can see that they lightened up on some of their corn, their short corn positions, and actually lightened up on some of their long bean positions. So to me, that was just probably spread unwinding that's been going on. Export inspections. Wheat exports are now running 2% ahead of a year ago. They were up 9% last week, so they really took a hit this past week. USDA is still forecasting a 2% decrease on the year. Corn 14% behind a year ago. Last week they were 16% behind, so they've made a little bit of an increase, and the USDA is predicting 14% down, right exactly where we are. Soybeans down 5% on the year, same as it was last week, and the USDA is still, they're saying a 6% decrease. So we're narrowing in on all of the numbers. Hopefully we can prove them wrong, but it's going to take sales to do that.
Yeah, speaking of USDA, both crop production and WASDE reports released at 11 o'clock this morning. Go through the numbers that you think were important, and I bet you've got some changes. There were a lot of records to talk about, and national records, both for corn and soybean on the yield.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, corn yield came in at 181.8, and in July they were at 178.5. Then that was higher than the average guesses. That was a 180.3 for an average guess. So beans, wow. 53.3 versus 49.8 back in July and 51.4 as an average guess. Now, I looked at the deviations on this. You know, you and I talk about this almost every time we have a report. On corn, the deviation is 6.2% on a 90% confidence level. So that's telling me that corn could come in at 193 or 170. So there's still a really wide gap in there. Beans, 11.1% deviation, meaning they could come in at 59.2 or as low as 47.3. So, you know, in 2019, this usually is the first objective yield report, or used to be, August was. We're going to get our first objective yield report now, our survey in September. So that again, will make a difference. As you look at some of that, of course, ending stocks for corn came in at 2.756 billion, lower than the average guess, but higher than last month. Beans, 610 million versus 425 million last month. And wheat, 926 versus 942 last month. At the world levels, we saw corn come in at 317.5 million metric tons. That was actually lower than the average guess, but slightly higher than July. Soybeans, 95.4, just slightly higher than July. And wheat, 316.8. 2 million metric tons higher than July. When we looked at the overall mailbox price, they dropped corn from 335 for 2021 down to 310. Didn't make any changes on 1920 on any of the crop. They dropped beans from 850 down to 835 and wheat from 460 down to 450. They were pretty aggressive in corn. We actually saw 150 million increase in usage. And that's one of the things that saved us when you look at how much the yield actually went up. When it came to the beans, we weren't quite as fortunate. They did increase the crush and just a little bit for seed. They did go up 75 million on exports. So, you know, everything looked pretty good. I think it goes back to the old adage that we've grown up with and used to, and that is that low prices have a cure for low prices, and let's hope that that's going to be the truth. You know, it's just a... It's a report that came in here, and I mean, if you look at it on the face, you'd say, holy cow, you know, this is a pretty tough report. You know, they had such big increases, and yet the market didn't react at all that way. And I think that this is a good statement on, and backs up the fact that this is a futures market. In other words, it's always looking to the future. So it already had a lot of this built in before we even got to the market today. And that's why so many people get upset, because they say, well, why isn't it doing what the report reflects? Well, that's because they're always looking at the future. And so fortunately for us, they didn't take this to heart and really rip us apart on the board.
Yeah, because there were a lot of records, both for corn and soybeans, in a whole bunch of states when you looked at the breakdown, yeah?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, nine of them each in corn and beans. I mean, and it's a combination of states when you really look at it. You know, we've got Michigan, Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina, New York, Wisconsin, South Dakota, Minnesota, Kentucky. I mean, and of course, the numbers for Illinois, 207, the number for Iowa, 202, those aren't records, but they're also big, big numbers for corn. When you looked at beans, basically we had a record in Mississippi, we had a record in Ohio, Illinois actually a record at 64, Indiana record at 61, Kentucky record, Michigan a record, Missouri, Nebraska, South Dakota. Unbelievable. I mean, it kind of backs up, you know, when we've been looking every week at these trend line comparisons on corn, it stayed the same for below trend line. That was 9.7%. But we actually went from 13.7% to state that trend line yield up to 28.9%. And so that was a drop from the week before. You know, more moved out of the states above trend line down to the states at trend line. And so therefore, last week we had 67.7 above trend line in corn and only 52.5 this week. So, you know, when you looked at this, you'd have thought, holy cow. But that's just that, you know, when you're looking at these trend line comparisons, you're looking at crop ratings is basically what you're doing. So, you know, now we've got numbers that can go along with that. On the soybean side of things, we don't have anybody in below trend anymore, and we have 22.4% of the acres at trend line and 72.7% of the acres above trend line. So, you know, what does it say? Sounds like a mighty big crop to me.
Yeah, it sounds like a big crop. We're in the middle of grain fill. It doesn't always take rain the rest of the way out because it is the month of August. However, it does take some soil moisture to get us through to the end at this point. Have you been watching that across the nation?
Yep, and the five states with the best soil moisture right now are Missouri, North Carolina, Kentucky, Minnesota, and Illinois. And the ones with the lowest soil moisture are Iowa, Arkansas, Mississippi, Nebraska, and Ohio. And I think, you know, that speaks volumes, doesn't it, Todd? When you see some of those states and the numbers that we're looking at as far as production goes, Mississippi record, Iowa big numbers, Nebraska big numbers, it just says to me that we had very adequate subsoil moisture and that the grain was able to actually get to that and be able to utilize it. But that's where we stand on soil moisture.
Yeah. So what do farmers do, if anything, at this point? How do they incorporate this into their marketing plan, the whole of the USDA reports, or begin to think about what this season's going to look like? They're going to need a lot of storage. And from what I saw of those winds, there's a lot less storage in Iowa than there used to be.
No kidding.
there's just a whole lot for them to think about, I would guess.
Oh, there is. Well, you know, it's a typical thing in a year when you have a huge crop. If you have grain that you know you don't have storage for at home, you better have it booked in at the elevator right now, you know, so that you've got a place to go with. Because, you know, if you just look at the carry in the market, we got 13 cents a carry between September and December. We've got 11 cents a carry between December and March. That's saying to me, you know, keep it at home if you can, because this is going to be tough. We anticipate there's an awful lot of grain that's going to be coming in. And so right now, I think, you know, the logistics of how they're going to handle the size of the crop and what they're going to do with the grain is one of the most important things that they have to be looking at. When it comes to pricing, you know, we'll see once. We've had over the years, and I didn't get a chance to look up how many years it was, but we've had times when we actually put our lows in right before this report, and it would certainly be nice if that were the case. As long as we continue to see buying coming out of South America and other places, we should at least expect to see some support. but they have to really stay on top of this market. I mean, the futures are speaking to them loud and clear that if you don't have something ahead of time, you may not get any place to store something. So it's they've had a lot of challenges this year. Let's just put it that way. This has been a really difficult year in so many ways, more, I think, emotionally even than anything else when it comes on the farm level. And so I do have, Todd, the day of and the 2 week after the WASDE report that we normally talk about. On the day of, we usually have 6 cents, either 6 cents up or 7 cents down on corn. 2 weeks later, 38 cents up or 27 cents down. And those 2 weeks later, both the up and the down, the positive and the negative, rank as some of the highest, has some of the highest likelihood. So that's going to be interesting to see if that actually follows through this year. When we look at beans, 16 cents down or 9 cents up on the day of the report, and then the 2 weeks after, 38 cents up or 69 cents down. Now, that 69 cents down, that is ranked as number one most likely to occur. So it's a circumstance where I just can't stress enough how important it is for you guys to have yourself positioned, that if you don't want to make a sale and you don't want to do something, then get a put in place and protect yourself. I know people say, well, these prices stink. Well, they could stink much worse. That's the part that's scary. And when you're marketing, you have to always be looking at it from what is the worst case scenario.
Hey, thank you. And I'll talk with you again next week.
Yeah, thank you, Todd. I appreciate it.
That's Jackie Vakes. She is with Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. If you'd like to see some of the numbers and the charts from the United States Department of Agriculture, including those that come from the executive summary, they're posted into our website right now at willag.org, willag.org. I'll leave them up for some time. Drop by and visit the website and catch up on all of the executive summary slides as they relate to today's USDA reports. And of course, you can always find and listen to our programming on demand right there. Just click and play from willag.org or check out a podcast in your favorite podcast applications. Search for the Closing Market Report or Commodity Week. On this Wednesday, Drew Lerner joins us from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hey, good afternoon to you, Drew. It is a gorgeous USDA WASDE day and crop production in our part of the world. And apparently, the crops are really good because both the corn and the soybeans came in as record breakers this morning.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about the forecast and about that wind, too, that we had on Monday?
Yeah, well, you know, the wind was quite the deal. You know, traveling 700 miles plus from Nebraska into Indiana, really impressive event. I can't believe how many storm reports there were. I last counted somewhere close to 450 wind damage reports, but that was only into the evening on Monday, and I think the storms continue to go into Indiana after that. So. But anyway, just phenomenal. And some of the pictures I'm sure folks have seen, just amazing what nature can do to a crop after, you know, seeing generally good conditions. Those central Iowa counties that were most impacted were really not a part of that drought. And so they had a pretty good-looking crop going, and unfortunately it's now down on its knees. And we'll see what it can do, but I have the feeling it's pretty late in the season. It's going to be pretty hard for that crop to recover. Outside of that, you're absolutely right. It's just a really good year. I was trying to go back in time and see some other years where our pattern has been like this. And I was looking at 1966. I was looking at 2002 somewhat, and even 1992 to a certain degree. We ended up drier that year at the end of the season. We may still do that, but boy, it's going to be September before we really notice any substantial dry down. Anyway, just kind of interesting to see how well we have finished, and I do not see any real good reason why we're going to deviate majorly from this pattern for the next 10 days to 2 weeks. We have cooler air coming up next week. We're going to see some showers this week. We will dry down in the latter part of the month and maybe into early September, but, you know, it's hard to knock a really good crop down when you're this late in the season. It would be at least 2 weeks before we get dry enough to be an issue. So that's pretty much the perspective in the U.S.
How about in Canada?
You know, Canada's prairies have had an interesting year, to say the least. They start off with last year's crop still standing in many areas, and a lot of areas too wet and cool. They were late getting going, and then they had some fairly good conditions take place. It got pretty darn dry, though, in parts of Saskatchewan, and that trailed back into Montana and the western Dakotas, of course. And then as we've come into more recent weeks, there was a short-term period of really decent, timely rainfall in late July. But boy, this month has been just bone dry, and it has been fairly warm. A lot of the late-season crops in Saskatchewan and Manitoba are really stressed at the moment, but there is some good news. We do see rain coming in tonight and continuing on into Friday, maybe even early Saturday, in Manitoba and eastern parts of Saskatchewan. That's where most of their corn and soybeans are produced these days. And there will be a very positive response, I believe. A lot of the rain amounts will be in the half to 1.5-inch range and maybe some local 2-inch plus amounts. And then they'll go back into some dry weather. There's going to be a couple of shots of cool air coming up for North America that will impact Canada as well as the U.S. And that will conserve some of the moisture. So I think we're going to come out of this okay. Some of the central Saskatchewan areas into Montana and southern Alberta are still quite dry and will stay that way, but some of those early season crops are coming off the fields now, so it's not really going to make a whole lot of difference.
I made note that the Ukrainians have cut their corn production or export numbers, probably both. I take it that squares with what you think has happened in that nation?
Absolutely. And it was both the exports and the production that were cut. And, that area in eastern southern Ukraine, which is very important from an agricultural perspective, has not seen much in the way of meaningful rain since at least mid-July. And it's just been one day after the other of little to no rain. And temperatures were fairly warm to hot there for a little while. It hasn't been an excessively warm year, though. But, you know, they came into the growing season with limited moisture to begin with, and so it didn't take long for them to get too dry. So absolutely, the cut was necessary. It wouldn't surprise me to see a further decline. And with that as an example, any unirrigated crop in Ukraine's east and south, as well as neighboring areas of Russia's southern region, will likely follow suit with low yields expected. I fully expect soybeans as well as corn and sunseed in these areas all to come in with low yields, and a further cut is probable.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
You bet. Have a great afternoon.
Oh, you too. That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.